I'll invite our children to the front for the children's message time. All right. Y'all see anything different up front today?
Yes, the cornucopia.
Ooh, and you even got the name for it. Well done. Okay, tell me again what this is.
Cornucopia.
Looks more like a horn, actually. Cornucopia means horn of plenty. So we have in this cornucopia, what is this?
Fruit.
They're like gourds, various kinds of squash. But maybe you see those at Thanksgiving time. Do y'all have some decorations like that at your house or maybe at school? Or maybe you've seen them at the supermarket or something. And sometimes they put fruit in there, grapes, sometimes bread. So why do we put these out this time of year? You got any idea? It's supposed to remind us about all of the good things that we enjoy. So when we've got food and stuff in here, our food type items, vegetables, fruit, whatever we might put in there, it's supposed to be a reminder of the fact that we have an abundance, that we have so many good things. Did you have Thanksgiving last week?
Yeah.
Did you eat a lot?
Yeah.
You didn't eat a lot? Where were you?
I didn't.
You ate, but you didn't eat a lot. Did you give thanks on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Did you? What are you thankful for?
Food and friends.
Your food and friends. In that order? Just out of curiosity?
Yes.
Food first and then friends? Okay. What are you thankful for? Friends? I hear church. What are you thankful for? God, family, friends, pets, a house. What are you thankful for? You thankful for mommy and daddy? That's a good thing to be thankful for. Good. Anybody else? For your dog, what's your dog's name? All right, well, we can be thankful for that too. What are you thankful for? Animals. You're thankful for all the animals. We have so much to be thankful for, and we can and we should be thanking God for all that we have. Listen to these verses from the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Whose gates? The Lord's gates. Enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. So this says to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Did you enter any gates today? Actually, you don't have to go through gates and you don't have to find some courts. We're talking about coming into the presence of God. So this is just figurative language to help us know that whenever we come to God, we should come with thanksgiving and we should come with praise. So do you think it's a good thing to thank God? Everybody who thinks that's a good thing, raise your hand. So should we have one day each year that we make sure we give God thanks? Is that a good thing? When is that day?
Thanksgiving.
We do that on Thanksgiving, don't we? So one day a year and we're good, is that it? Or should we have a day every week that we thank God? Should we only do it on Thanksgiving and then on Sundays? Shouldn't we thank God every day? That's right, Madison. We need to thank God every day for all the good things that he has given us. We should give God thanks every day. Matter of fact, even throughout the day. In the first thing in the morning, you can give thanks for the morning that God has given you. And when you sit down to eat, you can give thanks for the food. And when you're going to bed at night, you can give thanks for all the things that God provided, as well as for the things you already mentioned, your family, your friends. So right now, let's stop and give thanks to God, okay? Everybody bow your head and close your eyes and be quiet while I lead us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all of the good gifts that you give to us. We've celebrated that at Thanksgiving this past week, and we continue to celebrate it today. Most of all, we thank you for giving us your love and the greatest gift of all by giving us your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and then raised again so that we could have forgiveness of sins if we trust in him. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for these children. Thank you for their families. Thank you for Children's Church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This is likely a somewhat familiar passage to you if you have read through the Bible before, if you've been in church long. I'm going to read verses 11 through 19 in this gospel account of a situation that took place between Jesus and several people. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. You follow along in whatever translation you have there in front of you. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, for this account of what Jesus did for these 10 individuals and for the things that we can learn from this account. I pray, Lord, that even as we are focused on Thanksgiving this day, this week, this season, that you would help us to learn from the thankful Samaritan. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, Kim and I had a regular practice of going to the Union Gospel Mission. We've done that a couple of places we've lived. Most particularly, this was when we were serving in South Dakota. So we were close to Sioux Falls. It was just a short trek over to Sioux Falls. And we would go up there to the Union Gospel Mission, generally once a month, as different pastors from Sioux Falls and from the surrounding rural area would come and share a message for those who were gathered there at the mission. And there was one particular fellow that after the service was over, he was in need of a ride somewhere. And for whatever reason, I thought we would go ahead and give him a ride. So as he got into our vehicle, he immediately began a tirade of complaints about this, that, and the other. He complained, I think he started by complaining about his girlfriend. I don't remember the details. Not that it matters. He complained about my sermon. Yeah, that one mattered. It got a little personal there. But he complained about that. He complained about Christians in general. He felt like that Christians were a bunch of hypocrites, and he complained about that. He complained about the Union Gospel Mission, a place where he had just finished eating a meal that was provided by the generosity of the mission and the people who support it. He complained about that. By the time he left, it appeared that no one had done a kind thing for him in his entire life. Even God had let him down. He was so blinded by ingratitude that I don't believe he would have recognized a blessing if it had hit him in the face. Unfortunately, I think we would have to agree that this man is not alone. Many of us fail to recognize God's blessings. But not so the Samaritan in today's passage. He was truly thankful. So this morning, let's discover some things about thankfulness by looking at the thankful Samaritan. Number one, if you want to follow along in your outlines, the Samaritan recognized his need. The Samaritan recognized his need. Verse 13 of our context says, the 10 men with leprosy lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." There was an expression of need. They were requesting the touch of God. They were requesting God's mercy. So point A, the Samaritan knew his condition was humanly hopeless. His condition was humanly hopeless. Now, I know for a fact that some within our church family deal with chronic health issues, and that you have likely seen a doctor, multiple doctors, multiple times, and that there are some who deal with these issues, and when it all boils down to it, they keep having you go to the doctor, but there's really nothing else they can do. And so you've got this issue or these issues, whatever they may be, and they keep treating some symptom and it really doesn't work. And when it's all said and done, the situation is actually humanly hopeless. That was certainly the case for these 10 men with leprosy. Leprosy, of course, in that day and age meant that you were going to be isolated from the rest of the population. They had to shout out from a distance because they weren't allowed to get close to other people because they were seen as unclean. So they shouted out, "Have mercy on us." And the Samaritan among them recognized that his condition was humanly hopeless. There was nothing anyone could do, but this particular man, Jesus, is known to have accomplished miracles. And so they call out to Jesus. The Samaritan, recognizing that his condition was without hope from a human perspective, now calls to the one that offers hope. So what can we learn? Point B, the first essential ingredient of a truly thankful heart is to be aware of your need for the mercy of God. To be aware of your need for the mercy of God. And in the very next chapter, Luke chapter 18, we see another illustration of this. This particular illustration is seen by a parable that Jesus told. So beginning with verse 9 of Luke chapter 18, we read, "Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Verse 14, Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." The first ingredient of a truly thankful heart is to be aware of your need for the mercy of God. We must be aware of that. Without that awareness, we are not going to have thankful hearts. And indeed, when you look at the Samaritan who knew his condition was humanly hopeless, I know that there are many today who can relate to that and think, "I am well aware of my need." That's a good position for us to be in. And even if you don't have a so-called incurable disease, every one of us needs to recognize our need for the mercy of God. All of us have that need. That's our first step. Secondly, the Samaritan recognized God's blessing. Back to our context of Luke 17, verse 15. "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed," when he saw that he was healed, the Samaritan recognized God's blessings. Indeed, point A, the Samaritan was observant enough to see that he had been healed. Now, to be fair, my guess is that all 10 recognized that they had been healed. But I'm not necessarily certain that they recognized God's blessing in that. Rather, they were too focused on their own personal benefit. But when the Samaritan saw that he was healed, that tells us that he was observant enough to note that, and that this created within him a change of heart. It created within him a desire to give God thanks, which we'll come to in a moment. So certainly we can learn from the Samaritan. Let's look at this another way. Point B, many don't even realize that they receive blessings from the Lord. Many don't realize that they receive blessings from the Lord. And let me suggest to you several ways that this is true. You can see I've given you some cross references here. I would say that many, especially in our day and age, are blinded by selfishness. The likelihood is that that was true about at least some, if not all the other lepers that called out for Jesus' mercy on that day. That perhaps it was just a selfishness on their own part that prevented them from seeing that they had been healed and giving God the glory. But many today are blinded by selfishness. And I think that we certainly fit into the category of the last times. Technically, that began at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so we're in the last days, but we're now 2,000 years closer to the return of the Lord, and I can't help but imagine that that must be coming very quickly. So as we look at various passages that talk about what things are going to be like in the last days, I call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and following, but right now just verse 2. He says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy," and the list goes on. And there's several things that we could focus on here, but I just want us to notice that we start with people will be lovers of self. Well, that's technically what selfishness is all about. A selfish person is a lover of self. It's all about me. And indeed, this is the world in which we live today. This is the culture in which we live. It's all about me. So people, because of their selfishness, end up with this characteristic in their lives that they are, as we go to the end of that same verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, they are ungrateful. They are blinded by selfishness. And I know that all of us see that on a regular basis today. We see it in the news. We read about it everywhere. We see it in tweets and text messages and wherever else. There is just such a self-centeredness that people have become ungrateful because it's just all about them and that's all they think about. Others are blinded by a critical spirit, which I believe probably goes along with selfishness, being lovers of self. But back, go with me all the way back to the book of Numbers, please. Chapter 21. Numbers 21, verse 5 says, "The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Now, you'll remember, this is the situation where Moses has been used by God to bring the people out of Egypt. So they're in captivity in Egypt, and God miraculously and gloriously delivers them from that captivity, where they end up leaving Egypt with the people of Egypt actually pouring on them all the riches of Egypt, saying, "Just take my jewelry, take my gold, take my silver, take all of this food, take, take, take." And they leave with all of this abundance. And they get into the wilderness, and of course, they're thirsty, and God provides water. And then they're hungry after whatever food they had runs out, and God provides manna. And we read about this and we think, what an amazing thing for God to do all that. And then we get this. The people spoke against God and against Moses, God's servant, saying, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food." Interesting that they would say that, since in the next phrase, they say, "We loathe this terrible food. Since there is no food and no water, and we loathe this terrible, worthless food." They are blinded by a critical spirit. The very fact that they are where they are should bring them to their knees and recognize in the gratitude they should have toward a God who provides all of their needs. And instead, now they're critical. They're critical of God because what God has given them, they decided they don't like it anymore. And what they wish they had, God has chosen not to give them. And they don't like God's choice for a leader, so they don't like Moses, and they're complaining about Moses because this is all his fault. He's the one that came and got them. Why didn't he just leave them alone? This critical spirit is what caused them to have no sense of gratitude, no thankfulness. They don't recognize the blessings of God because they're too busy being critical based on their own selfishness. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, to not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Our anxieties are because we wish that we had something that we don't have, or we're afraid we're going to get something that we don't want. And all of that, once again, fits into this selfishness, but it also can become a part of this critical spirit where we are anxious because we are critical. And unfortunately, that has so permeated our culture that oftentimes, even in the lap of luxury, of blessings, where God has poured out on us so much abundance, now we're fearful that we're going to lose it, and we spend more time being anxious about what we might lose than being thankful for what God has given us. That's a critical spirit. That ends up reflecting poorly on God, who is the giver of all good things. And now we're being critical. That critical spirit may cause you to not even recognize the blessings God has given. Some are blinded by an egotistical entitlement. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, partway into the verse, he says, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So here's what he's saying here. He's talking to a group of people that have been blessed by God. God has given them a lot of things. And now they are looking at the things they have and thinking, yep, this is all about me. This is what I have. This is who I am. I have these things now. And specifically, we're talking about spiritual gifts even. Yeah, I have this ability. I have this talent. I have these gifts. And it's because of what a great person I am. And his question to them is, what do you have that you did not receive? In other words, how did you get what it is that you have? And then he goes on, if then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Somebody asked me this morning, I'm planning on doing a chalk talk for Christmas this year. In answer to that question, no, we've got other plans for our Christmas Eve service. But it's always a challenge when somebody remarks about my abilities, for example, being able to do the chalk talk. Now, I personally struggle with a little bit of selfishness because I wish my talents were greater than they were. That being said, I do recognize that I have talents. And so when you say, you did such a wonderful job, it's always kind of, it builds tension in me because what do I have that I did not receive? I mean, the only reason I can do anything at all is because of the grace of God. The only reason I can stand up in front of you every week and open the Word of God and explain it in a way that you're getting a little bit better grasp on it is because of what God has done in me and through me. It's all because of God. I would have no abilities. I would have no artistic abilities. I would have no musical abilities. I would have no presentational abilities were it not for the grace and the mercy of God giving me those abilities. In other words, I've got no reason to boast about any of those things because all glory belongs to God. And so when I respond to some compliment that you give and say, well, give God the praise, it's because that's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to fall into the trap, and I know I'm susceptible to it, just like anybody else, into the trap of thinking, yeah, this is all about me. I'm pretty hot stuff. You know, we can't go there. And yet that's what was going on with the Corinthians, that they were boasting as if they had done all these things themselves. In that same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So he's pointing out by his own example the perspective that we need to have, instead of being blinded by an egotistical sense of entitlement, that I am entitled to this praise, that I am entitled to your admiration, that I am entitled to something that I expect you to give me just because of who I am. Paul says, by the grace of God, this is who I am. And it's only God's grace. And yeah, I work hard to do God's work. But really, it's not even me that does the hard work. It is God that does it. And when we stop thinking along those lines and we start thinking along the lines of entitlement, of what I think the world owes me or what you owe me, then Thanksgiving goes out the window. We have no gratitude because we're blinded by an egotistical sense of entitlement. Some are blinded by a godless lifestyle. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. This is in the middle of a long context, but right now I'm just going to cover this verse. Verse 21 says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. In this context, if you go back and read this passage, you're going to see there's a lot going on here. But the context is of a godless lifestyle. That even though you can look around you at the created universe and the evidence of an almighty God is clear and plain and all of us should recognize it, instead of recognizing it, we did not honor God. We do not honor God as he ought to be honored. And we do not give him thanks. And that, of course, is once again where our culture is at today. They look at all the things around them, and instead of giving God the glory, they don't give thanks. They think it's all about us, all about me, all about entitlement again. This godless lifestyle of choosing what I want above what God wants creates a lack of gratitude. It creates a situation where the very people who are the recipients of God's blessings to a lesser or greater degree, whatever it may be, that those very people who are regularly receiving God's goodness and God's blessings don't even recognize it. Roman numeral 3. The Samaritan recognized the source of his blessing. Now, this is a little bit different. We did say in number 2 that he recognized God's blessings, but now I want to get more precise because he recognized the source of his blessing. So back in our context of Luke chapter 17, verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. So he came back to where? To the person that he had said, have mercy on me. And Jesus has said, go show yourself to the priest. And now he comes back because he recognized the source of blessing. The Samaritan, point A, having received God's blessing, immediately came back to Jesus, who is the source of his blessing. The Samaritan came back to Jesus. He saw that he was healed and he came back. And the others did not. I'm quite convinced they saw they were healed because this is a disease that was very evident externally. And so any of those lepers could have looked at their hands, at their arms, they could have felt at their faces and known that something just changed. There's no way they could have missed that, but only one came back. The Samaritan came back to Jesus. The truth is, point B, that all blessings ultimately originate from the Lord. All blessings ultimately originate from the Lord. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that the discerning recognize that every good gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. All blessings ultimately originate from the Lord. When I ask you what you're thankful for, we should be overwhelmed with a sense of how God has blessed us. Every breath that you take is a gift from the Lord. Being able to look and see what you can see right now is a gift from the Lord. the fact that we have to wear these in order to see more clearly. Let's give thanks to the Lord that we have these. The fact that you got hearing aids in so you can hear better. Let's give thanks to the Lord. I mean, just start your way down the list. Every moment of every day, we are the recipients of the goodness of God. And we should be giving thanks to the Lord. All blessings ultimately originate from Him. And for the Christian, that is exponentially greater. Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be, this is chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So for the Christian, the blessings of God are literally beyond measure and beyond comprehension. Every time I read this verse, every time I repeat this verse in my head and in my mind, every time I contemplate this verse, it's a mind-blown type situation. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And when I come to that word every, it's like, how many spiritual blessings are there? I don't know. But of all the ones that I can think of, there's more. And God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And perhaps I find myself trying to come up with, well, what about this one? Because I'm not sure I have that. Well, according to the scriptures, I do. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I may not comprehend it. Matter of fact, I'm quite confident that I don't, and neither do you. We can't comprehend that. But if you're looking for a reason to give thanks, isn't that a good reason to give thanks? You have blessed me, Lord, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What an amazing truth. What an amazing blessing. We should recognize that the source of our blessing, even as Ephesians 1:3 says, is in Christ Jesus. Just as the Samaritan came back to Jesus, the source of our blessing is in Christ Jesus. God the Father, who gives every good and perfect gift, it comes down from Him, our Father, the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. God the Father has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. I need to come back to Jesus. So what happens next? Point four, the Samaritan praised God. Luke 17:15, then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God. Point A, the Samaritan began praising God the moment he was blessed. He began praising God the moment he was blessed. His gratitude was not delayed until some annual Thanksgiving service. It was spontaneous and immediate. Now, I know that for our family, we kind of have a tradition that at our Thanksgiving meal, we pause and we actually go around the table and express things for which we're thankful. This particular year, because we knew we would only have one of our four kids' families with us, Then we sent out something in advance that Kim had read about, a way to be able to bring family together. And we asked all of our family to share with us in advance a prayer of thanksgiving for things for which they were thankful, our kids and our grandkids. And then we put all that together and we distributed it so that all of us had the same thing that we were able to look at. And around that Thanksgiving table, we're making a list of things we're thankful for. And that's a good thing for us to do. If you don't do that on a regular basis, I would encourage you to do that. But really, like I asked in my children's message ago, is one time a year sufficient? I mean, is that what I need to do? Once a year, I'm going to stop and make a list of things for which I'm thankful? No, that's not sufficient. I mean, it's a good thing to do. It's a good practice. I want to encourage you to do that. But we ought to have more than just once a year that we're giving God thanks for those things. We ought to have more than just once a week that we're doing that. Indeed, according to the scriptures, every time we sit down to eat something, we should give thanks for the God who provides that. So there's Thanksgiving. There's part of my list. We need to regularly give God praise for the ways in which He has blessed us, just as the Samaritan did. So proper acknowledgement, this is point B, proper acknowledgement of God's blessings involves intentional thanksgiving. intentional thanksgiving. In the case of the Samaritan, he saw that he was healed and he couldn't stop himself. I mean, it was like, praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, I'm sure that all of us have had occasions, maybe many occasions, when something happens that so overwhelms us with the goodness of God that that immediately just springs to our lips. Praise the Lord! Praise God! And so it should. But proper acknowledgement of God's blessings involves intentional thanksgiving, so that even those times when we are not necessarily prone to say, well, praise God because this awful thing just happened to me, that I'm still going to be intentional and praising God. Because it's not enough merely to acknowledge that God is the source of blessing. And this is where I'm coming to this expression, praised God. We already acknowledge that He is the source, but what do we do with that acknowledgement? We give God thanks. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now, does that describe your life? Are you a person that others would say, yeah, they're just abounding in thanksgiving? They're always thankful. They're always expressing gratitude to God. They're always praising the Lord. That's where we need to be. And the scriptures, speaking of abounding, the scriptures abound with directives to praise God, with directives to give God thanks. Most of us are familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the, what is it? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for you. God wants you to always be giving thanks. And then Psalm 106, I've given you verse 1 there as a reference, but all throughout the Psalms and even in other places in the Old Testament and New, we have this expression. Praise the Lord, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Just look up that phrase and you're going to find time after time after time after time that that particular commandment is repeated in the scripture. And I want you to read it as a commandment. You can do this and say, this is what I'm doing, but this is also instructions to you. So here's the instructions. You need to praise the Lord. You need to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. We have the reason to do that. We are going to praise God. We don't merely acknowledge that He is the source of my blessings, but we intentionally come to Him and say, thank you, God, that you have blessed me in this way. That should become a practice for us every day. Number 5, the Samaritan publicly praised God. And we've established that he knows that God is the source of blessing. We have established that he praised God. Now we want to expand this and note that he publicly praised God. Verse 15 of Luke 17, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God, and note this next phrase, with a loud voice. In other words, it wasn't just Jesus who heard what he had to say. With a loud voice. Matter of fact, I can picture this in my mind, that perhaps as all 10 of these were on their way to the priests and the healing takes place and the Samaritan looks, that he immediately stops what he's doing and he says, praise the Lord! And he begins to turn because he's going back to Jesus while the others are looking and deciding either they're going to go on to the priest or they're just going to go about their business. We don't really know what happened to them, but we know the Samaritan immediately said with a loud voice, praise the Lord! He was giving thanks. So point A, the Samaritan wanted everyone to know how thankful he was for God's blessings. He wanted everyone to know. This wasn't just going to be between him and Jesus, even though that would be sufficient. But he wanted everyone to know how thankful he was for God's blessings. And so in a loud voice, he praised the Lord. So to make application to us today, point B, true thankfulness will not shrink from publicly praising God for his mercy and grace. True thankfulness will not shrink from publicly praising God for his mercy and grace. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." That's a public setting. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Just as the Samaritan made known what God had done for him in a loud voice amongst everybody who was there. The other 9 lepers, whoever was walking in the street that day, whoever it was, you couldn't miss the fact that here was a thankful man. And he was giving God the praise. Psalm 35 verse 18 says, "I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng I will praise you." This is a pretty great congregation. Well, I think it means number wise. But anyway, his point is that no matter how many are gathered there and all who are gathered there, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to praise God for what he has done. In the mighty throng, mine is going to be one of those voices. That is a public expression of praise to God. This is so well expressed in Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." Now you can look at Psalm 100 and you can say, "I can do that on my own in private." And that is true. You can. But that whole context suggests that this is a time of public praise to God. Which brings us to the last point. The Samaritan worshiped Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. Luke 17 verse 16 says, "He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." He fell on his face. This is an expression of worship, of acknowledging the worthiness of Jesus for all that he had to offer him, praising God and giving him thanks. So point A, the Samaritan's thankfulness pleased God because he worshiped at Jesus' feet. The Samaritan was healed and he worshiped at Jesus' feet. He saw that he was healed. He turned back. He immediately began loudly proclaiming the worthiness of the Savior and praising God. He came back to Jesus and he praised God for what he had done. And then he fell on his face before Jesus, right at Jesus' feet, and he praised him and gave thanks. He was healed not just physically, but also spiritually. He received the gift of eternal life. And we see that in verse 19, where Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now we already know 10 people were healed. And apparently those other 9 were healed. They were truly healed because we read in the scriptures that they were. But only one came back, and only to one did Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well." It wasn't his faith that brought about the physical healing. It was just the act and mercy and grace of God. That is what brought about his physical healing, and that was true for the other 9 as well. All of them received the blessings of God, but only one came back and acknowledged and worshiped Jesus. And as a result of that, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." In other words, you're whole now, not just on the outside, not just with the physical body, but now you're right with me. You're right with God. You have been saved. So point B, the appropriate expression of gratitude to God is total surrender to him through faith in Jesus Christ. The appropriate expression of gratitude to God is total surrender. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." We are receiving a kingdom. That's part of the spiritual blessings with which God has blessed us in the heavenly places. We have it all. What should we do in response to that? We should offer to God acceptable worship. What is acceptable in our case? $5 in the plate, stopping once a week and giving him an hour's worth of time at church. Okay, God, that's your part. Thanks for giving me an eternal kingdom. No, what he wants from us is total surrender. Just like the Samaritan falling on his face before Jesus saying, I owe it all to you. You are everything. God wants us to offer acceptable worship, total surrender through faith in Jesus Christ. Gratitude is an expression of faith. Look at it from the opposite perspective. Ingratitude is the absence of faith. I read for you a few moments ago from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Now that's a long list of terrible things, but we see that these people are lovers of self and they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And in the midst of that, you have this expression, ungrateful. Ingratitude indicates an absence of faith in God. You don't love God. You love yourself. It's all about you. And it's no wonder you're ungrateful if it's all about you, because you can't even meet your own needs. Gratitude is an expression of faith. Psalm 95 verse 1 says, Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Then he goes on in verse 6, Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Gratitude and worship through gratitude, or gratitude through worship, is an expression of faith. We recognize that he is our salvation, that Jesus Christ has provided us all we need for life and godliness, and we come and we bow down before him, and we worship the Lord our Maker. Thanksgiving to Jesus and worship of Jesus are two sides of the same coin. They always go together. We read in Colossians 3:16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what we do here on Sunday morning. This is all an expression of worship. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Two sides of the same coin. Gratitude and worship. We all benefit from God's blessings every single day. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced it's every moment of every day. But not everyone who receives those blessings is a true child of God. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 5:45, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. What does that tell us? That means that even those who have no fear of God, who are totally self-absorbed, who have rejected God, perhaps even claim to be atheists, even they are the recipients of God's blessings every single day, because God makes his sun to shine on them as well as us. He makes his rain to fall on them as well as us. Those are expressions of God's blessings. The blessing of eternal life, however, is available to them and to us. Unfortunately, many will reject it, and many will complain, as is the nature of our culture today, and they will go on complaining all the way up till Judgment Day. So I challenge you, don't be like the nine. Return to Jesus with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, I'm preaching to the choir here. These are gathered on this Sunday morning after Thanksgiving to worship you. And for the vast majority, this is a regular experience for us. We gather together weekly and oftentimes even more than weekly, where we worship and praise our Savior Jesus. We worship and praise our Heavenly Father, from whom all good blessings come. And yet, Lord, we need these reminders, like the thankful Samaritan, to regularly and intentionally give you thanks and to praise you and to worship you. I pray, Lord, that if there are any here today who have never received Christ as Savior, that today they would be born again. Today they would trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord and say, I want to be a child of God. That they would accept that He died for their sins, that He was buried and that He was risen 3 days later, and that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. Thank you, God. Our words are inadequate. May our lives express our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Amen.